Hey, what's good, people? It's your man Animal Brown checking in. Episode 304 of the On Deck TV podcast is here. We are talking about the XXL freshman class from 2014. Where are they now? Who was the biggest artist from there? Who's the most disappointing? Who surprised you the most? All right, that and a whole lot more. Of course, this episode is brought to you by Bombade Lemonade Vodka. Okay, it's a black-owned vodka company, and it's the summertime. You need something cool to sip on during these hot summer days and nights. You want to know the best thing to mix this with? Ice. That's it. We keep it straight simple. Pour that Bombade Lemonade Vodka on ice and chill out. Visit BombadeVodka.com and follow them on social media, Bombade Vodka, Instagram, and Twitter. All right. Now, this episode is also brought to you by Realville Media Group. Do me a favor, go to RealvilleMedia.com. Check out all of the shows on the network.
All the shows on the network consist of, first, the Fresh for Dummies podcast. J Hove, Animal Brown give you the latest and greatest in fashion over there. Their new edition is going to be a mashup that consisted of all the guys from Realville Media. Make sure you check that out. I talked a little fashion on there, amongst other things. Also, FSP got a little cameo in there with me and Animal Brown. We did the draft lottery, let y'all in on my sports knowledge. Oh yes, I got it. And also check out the YouTube and the Facebook pages and realvillemedia.com. We appreciate you listening. Support the real. Two E's.
Hey, what it do, what the business is?
It's another week in the books. It's the On Deck TV podcast. I am Spike Lou.
Man, how does your boy Animal Brown? Animal underscore Brown if you are looking for me on socials.
I am Spike Lou on the same tweet blocks and IG streets. Holla at me.
Absolutely. Producer M-Extra, what's goody?
It's your boy M-Extra Spillage, M-Extra 3 on all things social media. That is M-X-T-R-A 3 on all things social media related.
No E?
Oh, shit. Put an E in there just for him. Put two E's in there just to fuck with
right. Don't put no D's at all.
Man, hey, I would ask what we all got into this weekend, but we all know. We had a big dog celebration in Atlanta, the first live show. Shout out to everyone who came out and celebrated 300 podcast episodes with us. That motherfucker was shaking.
Yes, definitely a fun time getting to meet the people and have conversation and do some potting in front of people. That was definitely enjoyable, the 300 episode. We appreciate the people that came out. Shout out to Gold Bar Whiskey.
Woo!
Definitely came through and showed out for us with the sponsorship. Also, shout out American Deli. Them lemon pepper wet wings quick.
Fire. ATL shit on deck.
No cauliflower wings for your boy. It's all good, though. Appreciate y'all for looking out.
You're welcome.
Shout out to the whole Atlanta, too. We appreciate y'all.
Yeah, we appreciate that, man. Look for many more events. Realville be popping up, on deck, popping up near you, on deck, on location, the road shows.
Yeah, you got to let us know where y'all want us to come, man. I know a lot of people were in different parts of the country and obviously couldn't make it to the A like they may have wanted to. Let us know, man. We'll pull up where y'all want us to come to, man. Holler us on Instagram and Twitter and, of course, Facebook, Rap Chat, as always.
Yeah, invite us to your city so we can come pod with you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I need these Delta freaking flyer miles.
Did y'all get into anything else, though?
I seen Ready Player One. Have y'all seen that?
No, but it looked dope, though.
That was fire.
Ready Player One. Is it in the theaters?
No, it's out on HBO. I seen that in 22nd Block with Mark Wahlberg.
I've heard about that, too.
22 Blocks or something like that.
I haven't seen it, but I've heard about it.
Some slaw.
Damn, Mark Wahlberg. He don't feel off, though.
The twist at the end was awful. So it was that. I hate when they have evident twist on movies. Like, know what's going to happen.
You love telling motherfuckers about the end of movies.
You're on the verge of spilling it right then.
You never even heard of this movie, so you're not going to watch it.
I'm not going to watch it now.
I'm saying. Ending was awful, though.
But no, Sunday was Father's Day. Went out with the fam. Took my dad to brunch.
That's respectable. Yeah. I ain't do much of shit. I chilled out. My voice was gone. Shout out to Dead End Hip Hop, though. We recorded some stuff with them and my homie Chris Platty. My voice was all the way hoarse, though, so I was a very short cameo. But shout out to those guys, though, doing it big.
Yeah, shout out to the Dead End Hip Hop and sports guys. I got to send in on a couple of their podcasts this weekend. I posted the link on the Twitch streets earlier today, so check that out, man. We got to talk AD trade and a lot of good stuff.
Shout out to that AD trade. Of course, that happened after we did our FSP, but it's all to the good. We've got a lot of rap shit to get to, including revisiting this 2014 freshman class. But first, let's get to some of these topics, man. Let's talk Drake and Kendrick. Drake and Cole. They both dropped off two records in two very different ways over the weekend. Drake celebrated the Raptors championship win by releasing two joints, while Cole released the first two songs off his highly anticipated Dreamville compilation. Now, with Cole backing up his strong 2018 with a possibly stronger 2019 putting his crew on, how likely is it that we see a changing of the guard at the top of hip-hop?
I think as far as hip-hop is concerned, then that place is there for the taking for Cole. Drake will, though, always be a bigger star because he's more pop. He's more in the pop lane, I would say, because he can't switch it up and give you a Hotline Bling, and I don't think that J. Cole is necessarily in that lane. But speaking specifically to hip-hop, it's about putting your crew on. It's about how many people come after you. I love what he's doing with Dreamville, the whole Dreamville pack, and, you know, he just kind of slid in the middle, let everybody else get off. We kind of mentioned this during the 300 episode. It's like I said, it's about putting your crew on and other people, Dreezy, for example. All of these people are getting looks because of J. Cole, similar to, like, Rockefeller when Jay-Z was doing it. You had the whole looks and the State Property and the Benny Siegels and everything that came with being the biggest rapper in the game. I think Cole is taking that blueprint that Hov had. He's got the talent, a lot more talent than most artists have under them in today's game. So I think that that's going to propel him to the top of hip-hop. But I think him and Drake are two different. They're in two different games. They're playing two different games. So he'll never surpass Drake as far as popularity.
Yeah, I get it. Like, Drake is in the driver's seat right now. But the thing is, I like the moves that Cole is making to put his team on. I think it's all going to rely on what this compilation album does. How does it sound? Will it ride out through the summer? Will it have bangers for the radio, for the club? What exactly would it sound like? Will it come out Friday and then everybody forgets about it Sunday? Like, if it's one of those type of projects, like his previous two were, because I don't remember this much hype coming into the Revenge of the Dreamers 1 and 2. So if he can capitalize off of what he has built from the invitations online to now the teasing videos on Instagram and having some fairly big name people on there with different producers, as long as he can capitalize it and the quality matches this hype, then maybe we could see something, because J. Cole's still supposed to drop this year. He's still supposed to drop the solo joint, the Fall Off, or whatever the hell it was supposed to be called.
You know the name of it, man.
Something like that. All Fall, Fall Off.
It's called the Fall Off. You had it right.
Yeah, something like that. As long as he can kind of build on top of what they're doing with the compilation. But it all starts with the compilation. If this is just some little cool, nothing else matters after that, then. Drake is going to come through with a summer banger and wash out everything underneath him like he does every year.
Well, for me, I feel like it depends on the criteria as you look at success. We all know Drake is a more popular artist. He's marketed more. You see him on games. Cole is not that. Cole's more of an extrovert.
Introvert.
I mean, man, let me fix it. Jesus. Introvert. That's just not his style. But as far as success in music, Lou mentioned Jay-Z. I think you're the most popping artist when other people can eat from your moves. And I feel like Cole is doing that more with, like, not only his artists, but just other artists in general. This Dreamville compilation is going to be filled with other people. If it's the first two singles are indicative of anything to come, they're going to be filled with other artists outside of Dreamville as
For
well.
For sure.
So whenever you put artists who don't really get much shine on a big stage and a courtesy of your platform, for me, that makes you a wide reacher and a larger artist in my eyes.
I think,
of course, you're going to be popular because it's pop radio. Drake has, you know, pop songs. You know, that's just what it is.
For sure.
For my criteria, I feel like Cole, and the question is he positioning himself? I think he's positioning himself to overcome, because I don't see. I mean, we don't hear much from OVO at all. But outside of Drake.
Right. Thank you for that 4-page letter.
Yeah.
But I think Drake may be I think Drake actually might be too big of an artist to have somebody under him to be successful.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, yeah, because you look at Jay-Z and people used to look at Memphis Bleek. When he crowned, or when he told people, this is the next guy, this is my right-hand man, people had super duper high expectations for Memphis Bleek, and he could never live up to him. I think the Drake umbrella is similar. His shadow is too big.
I think the cream rises to the top. So I just feel like Drake doesn't have the talent on his roster that you would say could be a follow-up to him. Now, if he had a Benny Siegel per se, then I think that there would be someone that could follow up to him. I just don't think that he selects talented rappers. I'm not sure why that is. I do agree with you on the quality that J. Cole has to provide, but I don't question if he can do it or not. Just based off his recent streak of the features that he's put out there, the artists that he signed, I think that he takes a lot more an in-depth approach to signing artists. I think that the people that sign him are, like, you look at them and they say Dreamville, from Boz to Earth Gang, whatever it may be, like, they speak J. Cole. I look at OVO and I'm like, I don't know what... I actually don't even know what any of them look like, to be honest.
I don't know what any of Dreamville people look like.
I never see them or hear about them, I would say then. Like, even not to know what they look like, I never hear about them. I never really hear them making noise. And maybe because most of it's R&B, which goes back to my point as far as Drake being more popular and just going to be able to maintain that pop lane, won't have to worry about a team. And J. Cole, in that case, will probably surpass him because he's going to be shuffling people out throughout the year, and I think the quality is going to hold
up. But what stars are on Dreamville, though? You need a star. At least a starter. Let me say that. If you got a roster, you need a starter-worthy player.
But you have to, similar to the Self-Made series with MMG.
For
like,
sure.
It made stars from that album. Exactly. I feel like the guys, Meek, of course he had a name. Wale, of course they had names.
Yeah.
But when that series of Self-Made came out, all MMG, and by the third one, by the time like they had everything cohesive, it was a major drop. It was a major artist, and I think that's what pushed Wale, and that's what pushed Meek to be bigger stars. Same thing I feel like will happen in the same pattern on the third one for the Boz, for JID, for Earth Gang. They're going to take an ascension to stardom.
Yeah, and the thing with that MMG shit, though, that's a good comparison. They had solo records that stood on their own. Like, Meek had Tupac Back, which was a banger. That was a solo Meek Mill banger on MMG's compilation. Wale had 600 Bins. Like, they had bangers on a solo tip. You know what I'm saying? They didn't have to rely on Ross coming in and saving them on a song or anything of that nature. J.I.D. needs a solo banger on this album and doesn't need the assistance of J. Cole to have a 16 at the end that saves it and is the only reason that it gets clocked. That's what I'm saying. Like, those dudes are individual stars. I don't know if Dreamville works that way or if they work better as a collective and they don't necessarily have any solo acts work.
I disagree. I mean,
JID album was good.
His album was good last year.
So
it was cool.
I don't think that they would have the same formula as an MMG exception of, like I say, the rollouts with the albums. I don't think that JID will never probably have like a hit. It took Cole long enough to come up with a hit. So I don't think that's in the playbook for Dreamville as far as we need a Tupac Back or we need a I'm the Boss. What they need is somebody that's going to bar you down to death and give you good projects, and I think that's what those guys are going to do, and that's what's going to gain them popularity.
That won't get them bigger than Drake. That won't get him bigger than Drake, though.
I mean,
that's going to get – well, if they're successful – I ain't talking about J. Cole. I'm talking about Boz. I'm talking about JID. They can be average at best, but him having average at best artists that could spit speaks to what – I feel like J. Cole represents, not I'm a Boss or like Tupac Back.
No, but
type
Jid
of
has that in him, though. He has
possibly.
That, yeah, and Boss can rap too from Queens. I mean,
rapping and making hits different, though.
Well, I know.
True.
Let me finish. But
true.
Jid has that hit capability. That's why if you do any analysis of Dreamville, everybody says the same thing. Jid has that capability. I mean,
at least Earth Gang had a record on the radio, though. The one with them and Young Thug. That got some tick.
That's hard.
I'm not
speaking
gonna
of Earth Gang. That I think it's Venus, Lord Venus. He killed that last verse on that Down Bad. He murdered it.
Lord Venus
murdered it.
You see what I'm saying?
If you mean anything. If you
relying on niggas named Lord Venus to take you past Drake.
You talk about bars, but when they give them to you, you be like, oh well, he's not that popular. I mean, I don't care about who's popular. I just want to hear good music.
Fair enough. We'll see, man. That shit should be dropping any day now. That shit better be fire, too. Moving on, man. Irv Gotti, your man, is back with a second season of his original series, Tales. If you didn't know, it's an anthology series that transforms classic hip-hop songs into visual narratives. Now, the first episode of the new season is actually supposed to have a brand-new, never-before-heard Kanye record. After a so-so season one, does that make you more interested in watching season two?
Not the Kanye record at all. I had to go look at the rest of the songs to see what they were doing. And they got some interesting titles. I just feel like the Irv Gotti is doing this all wrong. As I'm looking at the producers on this, man, he need a better team of people to put the story out. Because I feel like the making a story out of the song titles and have it tying in with the song, that's a dope idea. But I don't think that it's being executed correctly when you had, like, especially last season. Last season was awful.
Yeah, it was.
And, like, it just wasn't put together well, and I don't think that it does justice to the idea that he's had. And so I'm not going to be looking forward for him in the sense of production, or I'm going to check for it the first day that it drops. But it is an interesting idea. And some of the songs in which they're doing this year, Mind Playing Tricks on Me by Ghetto Boys,
right.
Nas Gave You Power, Lil Uzi Vert, XO Tour Life, mm-hmm. Bodak Yellow, and Triple X and Xtasia Moonlight. So they're interesting takes, I feel like, that you can take from all of these songs, and I would like to see what he would do with it. I just wish that there were better directors tackling the stories.
And see, here's the problem with season one. So first of all, I gave it about 2.5 episodes, and I was all the way out of there. Like, it just wasn't very good. And then the songs that he chose, that there were songs that had, you know, somewhat twist in it. He had the Biggie story to tell. But there's nothing to look forward to because we already know how that story ends. So me watching it on TV, it means nothing. I know exactly where the story's going. There's no twist. There's no way to really stick the landing if I already know how it looks. Now this, you named a couple of these titles, Bodak Yellow, Moonlight, even Mary J. My Life. Those are fairly open-ended. You can have just a really creative story, you know, to put to that. I don't know where these are going.
Yeah.
So now this is a little more intriguing. Yes, he does need better filmmakers, better cinematographers, better directors. He needs. So maybe in addition to, maybe he woke up, smelled the coffee, and was like, let me stop trying to do these songs that tell stories already because we know how those end. Let's get some songs that are more open-ended and we can craft an original tale to go with that. So maybe he heard us. He probably did. Shout out to you, Irv, if you heard us. But I got to give him props, though. How the hell he bamboozled BET to give him a season two is mind-blowing.
That happened. That show was terrible.
They got bad TV anyway, though. That show was terrible. Nothing on BET.
BET's original programming is Basura.
Yeah, that's trash right now.
They really didn't have a lot of options other than bringing him back.
That's bananas, man. They need to holler at your boy. Yeah. Watching him on Breakfast Club the other day with him and Ja Rule, he'll sell you anything. He'll make anything sound fire. I get him getting into the boardroom and bamboozling season one. I can see that. How the fuck he pulled out season two from this is mind blowing.
Irv Gotti, one of the best creators of his generation, as far as all the stuff that he was behind, musically, acts, all of that stuff. So I understand BET giving him a second season, but I'm just looking at it all like. Of the 8 episodes last year, you had 5 different directors. You should take one person's vision and go throughout the scene or the series with it, and I feel like it would be more cohesive and people would like flock to it more.
Well,
but spreading this stuff all around and having it written by different people, I feel like that's what takes away from it to make the stories not hit or impact as hard.
I mean, you go to any series, it's multiple directors all the time. So I don't think – it's just not written well. Like you said, the cinematography was bad. The acting is bad. I mean, it's just.
He's trying to make it like Twilight Zone, and I get it. You know what I'm saying? Or like, what's the one on Netflix? The weird
Black
one.
Mirror.
Like Black Mirror. You know what I'm saying? But those are shot well.
And they have money behind it. You can tell the difference.
Production value was crazy on
that. I know, Irv. I know. I get it. I know. We don't want to just trash. We get it. You don't have the same bag that they have. We understand that. But something's got to give, man.
I'm gonna check it out. I'm gonna check out the first episode for the Kanye song, and then that's the leash that I got for it. Like, if that shit ain't hitting on nothing, I'm completely out of there.
I'm interested to see what the Migos episode with Slippery gonna be about.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I don't get that. Yeah, I don't know what the fuck.
Story to Bodak Yellow.
Yeah. Or that one.
They don't even know what they're talking about.
Probably gonna involve a stripper in a club.
Gotta be. Now, the one that should be a layup is My Mind Playing Tricks on Me. Yeah. You should be able to body that.
Yeah, I think that one and then they, like you said, that Mary. Well, the Nas Gave You Power one.
That should be
and then Mary J. My Life. All three of those should be really good.
And you see the difference between those artists and the Migos and Cardi. But I digress.
Well, no, he just picked a particular song though.
I think the
I'm saying for the show.
I get it.
Well, he's going with popular. What's popular? The most viewed episode last year came from probably the most, I wouldn't say most unexpected, but it was Trap Queen, which was probably the most popular song that they done. So that's why he probably
commercially.
Did the Bodak Yellow.
But even Trap Queen
it's got a narrative to
it. Yeah,
narrative.
All I'm saying is that the popular song probably got them the most views, so that's why they went with Bodak Yellow.
Yeah, I mean, it's a narrative from that, from the jump.
Exactly.
Bodak Yellow, we don't know what the fuck she's talking about.
How did he get a Kanye song, though? I don't know. I didn't even know he knew Kanye.
He can sell you anything.
You know, that's a good point. You don't think he knows Kanye West?
I mean, personally.
Again, do you know who Irv Gotti is?
Yeah, his run was over with by the time Kanye got on. So I'm like, when did they cross paths?
Come on. It's Irv.
He was dealing with Def Jam and Rockefeller.
Def Jam.
He sure was.
That's true. All right, moving on. Let's keep it in New York, man. Nas. Before hitting the road with Mary J. this summer on tour, Nas announced his first children's book. All right. His goal is to, quote, keep children of all backgrounds fully realize their potential by tapping into their creativity in new and innovative ways, end quote. We all know Nas' side hustle game is strong. Why does he often get overlooked when we talk hip-hop businessmen discussions?
I don't think that's Nas' bag. I don't think that he's ever been a person to put it out there, even with his rap skills. Like, as good, as skilled as Nas is, he's never been the one to boast and say, I'm the best. Like, the Biggie, Jay-Z, and Nas line comes from Jay-Z. Like, Nas has never been the one to come out there and say, you know, put himself where people place him. So I think that has a lot to do with it. I think the humbleness has a lot to do with it. And he's worth $60 million and Jay-Z's worth $1 billion. So I think when you start talking about cash cows, people forget Nas, and then they look up the numbers, they're like, oh, and they try to dismiss it, but $60 million is a lot of money. He has Queensbridge investment firms. He's been doing investments since 2011, and they've did over 40 companies. They've made over $1.2 billion as far as for the company. So I think that it's just because he doesn't get out here and say it. He doesn't tell his PR person, hey, tell them that I'm doing this so I can be on Forbes. I don't think that that's Nas's lane. I think that he's more secure in playing the background, and that's where he, you know, excels at.
Yeah, Nas is not a good salesman for himself. He's not a Puff. You know what I'm saying? He's not a Jay. He's not even a T.I. for that matter. He rarely does interviews. He never really toots his own horn. So he's out of sight, out of mind when it comes to the business ventures, until we get an article like this that pops up when it talks about him owning a clothing store, or him owning his own clothing line, or him owning a food, you know what I'm saying, a restaurant in Cali. Or, you know, every 3 to 7 months, a Nas owns something will pop up and we'll go, oh, shit, that's right. Nas is out here baking the cake when it comes to these investments and shit. He was an investor in Lyft, Dropbox, Robinhood,
Casper. Like,
he's cooking with hot grease, but he, bro, when is the last time you've watched Nas on anything?
But that, I think that's the beauty of it. And it goes back to what you said earlier in the episode about popularity. Nas doesn't give a damn about that.
No,
and
clearly,
if I'm a businessman, I do the same thing. I don't care about people knowing. And I don't, and there's a funny shot that you took at Jay talking to somebody, I don't have my PR person call up Forbes. That didn't happen.
There's but, not, well, actually, that's not a shot. I'm stating the fact. That's how they get the information.
Yeah, Jay moves in silence, contrary to popular belief as well. He's just bigger.
But that's part of his thing. Brand is my point. Yeah, part of his brand is being a billionaire.
I guarantee his therefore, PR person didn't call Forbes.
Therefore, his PR team takes care of it.
I guarantee they didn't call Forbes.
Well, specifically, no, but the presentation is we want Jay-Z to be a billionaire.
I'm just talking about your comment.
But
Nas moves in silence, and I'm okay with that. If I had over $40 million, I wouldn't want nobody to know it all either. They would have to find out through the media.
But it's just in hip-hop, that's a competitor sport.
Well, he's never been that way.
It's a braggadocious sport. So Nas can talk shit, though. He'll pop his shit off on record, but
yes,
he just doesn't really do it on like DJ Khaled style, holding up on Snapchat all day long talking about shit he got going on.
Right.
But that's what we forget, though. Nobody's saying that that's the right or the wrong way to play it. The reason is, why does he get overlooked? That's the answer.
He doesn't put it out there.
Because he doesn't put it out there. Like that's just a fact.
Yeah.
Like,
especially at this point in time in his career. Like at 40 plus, like Nas doesn't have to put it out.
Nah, he ain't got to do none of that shit.
That ain't a part of his brand.
Nah. It'd be strange if he did.
Exactly.
It wouldn't even look right. We'd be looking like, the fuck wrong with him?
Why would you do that? Yeah.
But the children's book is dope. It's called I Know I Can. That's super cool. I'm interested.
I love that idea.
I wonder why he chose that lane, though. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like,
a lot of money in children.
You can make a lot of money.
Oh, dude, I wouldn't know.
That's a ton of money.
You see the mayor
of
Baltimore?
Yeah.
Who?
The mayor of Baltimore.
Uh-uh.
You ain't see what she did? Like, she was funneling her children's book through the city, and she got arrested for it, but she made like over $1 million just funneling children's books. She was making people buy her children's book as the mayor of Baltimore.
Yeah, I think like making contracts or every school.
She, if you went to the school, you have to buy
that. That was smart.
But I just.
That was illegal.
That was smart.
And she disappeared after that. So they don't even know. I don't even think they caught it yet. But with that being said, children's books, you can generate a lot of money.
Yeah.
And they're very, from what I hear, it was Arian Foster has someone on there that did that. They're very easy to write. Like, it's a very easy thing to do, and you can mass produce them.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Think of all the simple titles, The Boy Went Home, The Book Is Blue, or whatever it may be. You can, like, run those.
But how do you stand out from everybody else?
You have good illustration. You have good illustration.
You choose a lane.
You choose a lane,
specific to.
And I know, like, I can't think about
black
it.
Black kids, girls, whatever it may be.
Think about it with Nas. I know I can. When that song came out, he had the kids in the video.
For sure.
It's black kids. It's a target demographic. These kids from undeserved areas didn't have the same opportunities, but you can do it.
Right, right, right.
So here it is.
And that song was like in 01. I'm surprised he brought that
back. One of his best records ever.
Oh, my God.
From a motivational standpoint.
Okay. Thank you for clearing that up.
How many motivational records does he have? One? That one?
Thank you for sending specifics. Before we get to this music break, man, let's talk the Source magazine. They have launched their inaugural The Future issue. Springboarding off of their unsigned hype section, The Future issue will look at artists who they believe will dominate the charts, business, and culture of hip-hop for the next few years. The first person on the cover, A Boogie with the Hoodie.
Why?
Is this too and close to XXL's freshman class, or is there room for both?
It's a double cover, Lil Baby on one of them, too.
Okay, shout out
Lil Baby. It's room for both, just because you can have two different approaches as to how you do this. And they're going to be breaking them down into three areas: advanced, intermediate, and newly signed. So they're going to kind of give you categories as opposed to just throwing the 11 people up there. So I think that helps a lot as far as why we're even considering this person, what they have in their past. I don't know that XXL does a great job at doing that. What XXL does is, hey, these are the people that have been bubbling. You should have heard of them. Here they go. We got them. I think The Source is going to do a better job at presenting people that you may not have known and giving you the avenue to go check them out. So for that example, for that extreme alone, I like it. But it's definitely biting, and it's easier to duplicate something once it's been done. So.
Absolutely. I'm actually surprised it took someone this long to bite them. They've been doing this as well, 07. So now finally The Source, 12, 13 years late, is finally doing their version of it. But to be fair, Unsigned Hype came before XXL's freshman class. So they've been doing a version of this.
Right, and this is an extension of the Unsigned Hype.
One thing clear, though. Are they still doing paper magazines, or is this digital content only? Because I haven't seen – I'm trying to think the last time I saw a Source magazine at the grocery store.
That's a great question.
That's bananas if they're still doing the hard copies. But anyway, it's a good idea, and there's room for both. It's okay to have competition. Uber has Lyft. Coke has Pepsi. Like, there's always going to be someone at the top going against the other person. So I'm here for this. I'll definitely check it out, see who they have predicting that will be successful in the next 5 years. I don't think it will have the same impact as the freshman class has had.
Nope.
Because XXL does the full rollout. They've got the big dog photo shoot. They've got the ciphers. They've got the interviews. The Vanessa from XXL always goes to the Breakfast Club to break down who got picked, why they got picked, who got snubbed. They've even got the voter thing where you can vote the last pick in. Like, they've got that down to a science. It's probably time to switch it up a little bit, but, you know, from 07 to present day, they've been doing a fairly good job of it until people started turning that shit down. Yeah. Then that kind of waters it down a little bit, and then politics plays a part as well. So if The Source can stay out of the politic side of it, then maybe they have a better chance of being successful.
Yeah, and they were doing all those things, but I still don't think that they were as transparent as people wanted them to be, because people would wonder, due to the politics, how one person was on there over another. And I think that's kind of what took away from it, and them making bad selections throughout the year. So if The Source can be more transparent with what they're doing and have that reasoning, like in print or wherever they issue this magazine, I think that would be a check for them. So to be selected for The Future issue, your music is ringing off in the hottest clubs, blasting from the cars, and lighting up the airways. Shout out to DJ Khaled.
That sounded like a 90s quote.
Opening from the car.
Man.
Opening a spectrum and covering multiple degrees of exposure, The Future issue will break down artists into three areas: advanced, intermediate, and newly signed. So, I mean, I think it's a good idea.
That's not bad, though. Yeah. I ain't mad at it.
And it's going to be 30 artists.
God.
Yeah, I like how they...
30?
30 artists.
That's trash.
30 new artists.
Yeah, I like how they took the idea from the freshman class and expanded it. So I'm not mad at how they expanded it.
30 artists is 30. Trash, though.
Man, we don't know.
Man. 30 brand new artists.
That makes me think it's payola involved at that point.
That's good for the artists,
point.
Though.
Nah, I'm
happy for it.
Once of I get those, to like the 12th,
of
I'm
those
like,
30,
yo.
How many you think that you would walk away and be like, I'm going to listen to their projects?
I would say the advanced, those
you
that
probably
group,
already know all
those
them.
Are going to be the ones that I know. Once
like
I get to the ones I don't
like
know.
A Meg Thee Stallion, yeah, the Baby, stuff like that.
But once you get to I think they need to skip the intermediate. They need advanced and they need the under whatever the third one was. The intermediate,
no, I don't think so, because
they need to skip newly signed. They need to have that one.
I like the intermediate because you have a lot of artists that go under the radar. Like, Think about it. Think how many dope artists that people don't know about. Like we did the interview with Scenario. Shout out to the Scenario Radio Show. Mm-hmm. When I mentioned Nick Grant, he would be intermediate, and he's fire.
That's fair. Yeah, he is. I fuck with him. I can respect that.
So more exposure, that's all I'm saying.
30 artists is trash, don't I stand by that? When it's all said and done, what was the better magazine, Source or XXL?
The Source.
Really?
Tough. Cause we have adapted their even their five mics rankings.
Yeah, the ratings.
The five mics rating, it put them over XXL.
Yeah, I think it's still, I think longevity is the biggest key to that. So I don't know if I can say the Source when they took
it's
over.
It's still popping right now. Mm.
Is it popping?
Well, I mean, it's
popping for a magazine.
Well, I mean, it's still in print
more
apparently.
Than XXL. So I don't know about who won that.
I don't know. That's
a toss
up.
I would say the Source. Yeah, I would say the Source.
All right, man. Music break.
Yeah, and before we get into this music break, I want to make a quick edit. It's not Lord Venus. It is Johnny Venus from Dreamville, so let's make that clear.
It's equally slow.
No, it's not. Drake has somebody named Majid Jordan on his side. Anyway, this music break comes from Benny the Butcher featuring Pusha T. It's called 18 Wheeler. Check it out. It's dope.
Yes, sir.
First time I ever cooked the deuce, I got a four-way from it. Stabbed it in a pot so many times, they think OJ done it. And me and Push with a link back when I was a dealer. That's an 18 Wheeler to my town from Virginia. Enough glitter on my neck and make my ex-bitch bitter. I pulled up to the checks, pushing the Lex like I'm Jigga. To really make these type of checks. I took my chances when I was scrambling without no license. Yes, I really took those type of risks. I'm laughing at indictment threats. I used to sell O's, but now I outsell shows. To the feds, the trail cold. When I was locked, never called, but I used to send mail home. I got close homies caught in new cases on jail phones. Velcro strap and clip got a curve like an elbow. She counting up when a bitch got the 50, a nail broke. They talking racks, but my plug bring it back on a sailboat. And I flooded my corner right after the scale broke. That's your bitch, but I'm not a nigga, she tell no.
Yeah.
Cause you got the bitch fly, but it wasn't Chanel.
I'm nothing like you new gangsters pointing guns at the camera.
Never.
I bet you niggas practice in the mirror, brick of money to your earlobe. Six picks, same.
We are back. That was Benny the Butcher and Pusha T, 18 Wheeler. How you feel about it?
I'm always feel for that type of music, Pusha. And Benny, I like Benny. I like everything that
Push.
He did last year. Push murdered it. So,
shout out to Push, man.
Oh my God! No, that song was cool. I want to know how long before that sound gets stale. Because Benny,
we don't hear it enough.
The Griselda. Well, okay, now that would preserve it because they're not just putting out crazy amounts of content.
Right.
But West Side Gun, Benny the Butcher, Conway, they all use that exact same production. How long before that gets stale? Okay, yeah. That's what I'm saying. The same way that Dipset sped up Chipmunk sound got stale fairly quickly because they were so reliant on it. I don't know. I don't want them to be reliant. I want them to switch it up production-wise eventually before it gets too late. They need to be like the Patriots and get rid of that shit a year earlier than a year late. That's all I'm saying.
I think their styles are so different because I like Benny better than all of them.
I like Conway better than all of them.
Some of them I can't sit through. The whole thing, Benny to me, I can sit through a whole project. Some of them, I'm like, all right, I gotta come back to this. And I think it's kind of way. I have to be in. I don't know. It's something about his voice.
He hard.
Yeah,
I'm hot edge. All right, moving on. The 2014 freshman class. Where are they now? Now this time of the year, we always get that XXL freshman class cover. It's probably gonna drop. Fuck around and drop tonight as we're recording this, of course. But it should be dropping any day now, and it got us thinking, man. Let's revisit one of these previous classes. 2014, it's got a lot of big names on it, got a lot of rappers going through some things on here. So let's break this down, man, of who's most successful, who disappointed us the most, and who was your probably most surprising artist from this list. Now, there's 12 artists on here. Got Chance the Rapper, Ty Dolla $ign, August Alsina, Lil Durk, Kevin Gates, Troy Ave, Vic Mensa, John Connor, Isaiah Rashad, Rich Homie Quan, Jaron Benton, and Lil Bibby.
Jaron Benton.
Exactly. Ooh. Now, all out of these 12 freshman class, and shout out to that too, this was actually the one and only time where they did 12 artists, and this was also the one and only time they had two R&B artists. Who on this list to you would you consider the most successful?
At this current state, being that we're waiting on a Chance album, even though he's probably the most popular from this list, I'm going to go Gates. Mm-hmm. I think that Gates is a consistent force every time he drops. He has a fan base that's consistent. Like, I was surprised that he went gold or whatever it may be on his last album.
Right.
Because I don't frequent his music. I go back to Luca Brasi the last time that I was, like, really into Gates. But just looking over the numbers and the sales, I think that Kevin Gates would be the most successful. And you can depend on when he drops it, he's going to, like, do numbers. Like, even with his last mixtape that just came out, I think that's doing fairly well. So I think that Kevin Gates has a fan base. Usually Baton Rouge artists do have a fan base that they hold on to, NBA Youngboy, Lil Boosie, and they're able to take that and turn that into bigger numbers. So I'm going to go with Gates.
Man, it's tough because he does have a hit.
And only because, though, I say that I would go Chance if Chance's album had came out. Chance's album hasn't came out yet. He still called his last album a mixtape. Right. So we're waiting on the official release, which should be around the corner for his debut album. So I can't call him more successful than Gates if he ain't got a debut album.
I can call him more successful in terms of being in the public eye.
Facts.
But musically, that's fair because Kevin Gates has had a hit with Two Phones. Chance has had a hit with him and Wayne. Obviously, Rich Homie had maybe two hits. How many Atlanta native?
At least,
he had about two hits.
Yeah, at least two.
Yeah,
so
a couple of Rich Gang. So yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I slick almost want to say Rich Homie musically is the most successful because he had the most amount of hits. Like, and again,
he takes a big hit for longevity though, right?
Yeah, that's tough. And then also he fucked up the Biggie line at the
What's What Did It. That's what started the downfall right there.
Nah, it was before that.
The downfall
that got him out of there.
That started it. Yeah, like, oh, man.
His business decision started his downfall.
He's successful. He's got a couple of joints, but I got to go Chance. I'm really capping. It's Chance the Rapper.
Definitely Chance.
He's got the biggest profile out of all of these. And to your point of you saying he hasn't even dropped his album yet, and he still has the biggest profile. Mm-hmm. So when he does drop, he'll get accolades with it. It'll probably be critically acclaimed. He'll probably get the Grammy looks and all that bullshit. So he is on a bigger platform than the other ones if we're talking success. So would you say Chance? Who you thinking?
Yeah, I got Chance. I mean, this man made $6 million off a hat, for God's sake. I mean, it's no, if we're talking about success, that's what it is.
Forgot about that damn hat.
The three.
What does the three mean? Somebody put me on it. I don't know.
I can't remember. He explained it on another show that will remain nameless. But it's something to do. I can't exactly remember. I don't want to misquote it.
I don't follow him, so I don't know. I think his music is trash. I just don't like his voice. That's it. You can't understand it. You don't respect that. Don't like his voice is an acquired taste. Who would you say is the most disappointing on this list?
First of all, the three stands for, I've rationalized it to myself that it stands for the third mixtape, the Holy Trinity and the three-pronged family of myself, my daughter, and my girl. Ain't that a Chance answer?
Is that totally a Chance?
That's 1,000,000% a Chance answer to that three.
Chance.
That's why I don't like this music.
But, that's why you don't like his music. His tape was hard.
I like his music, though.
Yeah, last tape was hard.
Most disappointing?
Yeah.
Man, I'm going to have to go. I don't even know who Jaron Benton is. I don't even know why.
Yeah, he was on the West Coast.
I'm surprised this guy has a Wikipedia link. I never heard of him anymore after this.
He was linked with Tech N9ne, wasn't he, if I'm not mistaken?
From Kansas City?
Yeah.
It says he was between labels until 2018 when he signed to Roc Nation.
Okay.
So he's allegedly on Roc Nation.
Is he a writer?
In 2013, he dropped a debut studio album, My Grandma's Basement, which had positive critical reviews. It debuted at 152 on Billboard 200.
He's from here too,
and he's from Decatur.
Yeah,
I know who that is.
Oh, sure you.
Yeah, he was
that's
he was
funny.
He used to be with Hobson a lot.
He
was on his little label or whatnot, or he was with. He was label mates with Hobson.
Oh, no, that's not him.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Jaron Benton. That's the easiest to go. I just don't.
Oh, no, that's not who I know.
I think that they probably, I don't know if it was a fan voting, the politics that we were speaking of earlier, but just
that's possible.
Looking at this is a good freshman class. Like, everyone on here really can stand for themselves and say, I at least around that time or right after that time made an impact in the game with the exception of this guy. So now, I'm going to go with him.
There's four or five candidates on this list that could be most disappointing. I'm not going to lie. There's layups on here. Troy Ave is a layup to go most disappointing.
I skipped over. He blacked out on mine. He's redacted on mine.
He came out the door. He came out the door with that New York City album.
He's redacted.
Nigga redacted the hell out of
Redacted is hilarious.
That New York City album was fire. He had Promise. He had T.I. wanting to sign him. He had 50 trying to co-sign him. Mm-hmm. Like, he had a lot of promise, and he that was a time when New York was dumb quiet and they needed somebody to wave that flag.
He came in perfect time.
He came in perfect time and just dropped the ball. He fucked it up.
Smelling himself.
He
started smelling himself and people weren't really fucking him like that. So I could go him. I could go Lil Durk, who's on trial right now for his life.
You better not take mine.
Nah. I'm going to leave that one. That's all you. But Lil Durk's situation is bananas.
Yeah, it is.
I don't think that they're going to. He going to get off of it, in my opinion.
They said he got video, allegedly.
Hey, full of shit.
And a witness.
Hey, full of shit.
They're full of shit with the video?
Hey, you better hope so.
I don't think that video going to come. Anyway, I feel like if they had video, then why am I telling his attorney and stuff now for them to prepare a defense for it? Like, that would be something that just hit them in court unless it came out in discovery.
Mm.
And I don't think that his attorneys would say that we have video of him doing it. So I don't know how that even come out. So I don't think that that's going to affect him. And eyewitnesses ain't much on the case. Now, Lil Durk got money to spend on this case. So I feel like he's going to be fighting for a long time to get off of it, but he's going to get off of it, and then he'll have a whole redemption story that comes with it.
Yeah.
You say eyewitnesses aren't much in a case?
No. Look it up. Eyewitnesses are the least reliable source of
evidence. Get what you're saying overall, but if somebody
you
has
get what I'm saying overall, what are you talking about?
If somebody sees you walk up to me and shoot me and it's their eyewitness, that's
no, it's not, because they're going to go to court like a year and a half, 2 years later, and I'm going to have a good lawyer. They're going to say, are you sure it was him? Okay, yeah, what'd you do exactly when he got shot? But that's going down a rabbit hole.
It's the reason why people say no witness, no crime. If they have witnesses, they're
just look it up. Okay. Eyewitnesses are not reliable.
All right.
I'm glad y'all have ID Discovery on y'all cable package. Nah, but I'm going to go for Moses Upon. I'm going to go John Connor. Detroit.
What?
Because he coming from Detroit?
Nah, it's because he's cold and he was signed to Dr. Dre and still hasn't put out shit. You know when Dr. Dre co-signs you, because he rarely does this, he rarely comes out the house. But when he co-signs you, you're looking like, okay, this dude gotta be nice. And John Connor is stupid nice. Dumb nice. His mixtapes were hard. Y'all check out the ones where he went over all Jay beats. He's got one where he went over all Kanye beats. Like, dude is cold. And for him to not have done anything since this damn freshman class cover, I'd be hot at Dre. I'd be hot at whoever, TDE. Fuck it, just by association. What the fuck are y'all doing? Where is John Connor at, dude? Like, dude is cold. Y'all check out John Connor freestyles and check him out. That is disappointing when Dre has a cosign of you and he doesn't do shit with it. I'm just looking like, man, what the fuck? It doesn't make any sense.
Apparently, he's beefing with Aftermath right now.
He's clearly. Because he's like, why the fuck y'all don't put my shit out? So, yeah, dude is nice, and Dre dropped the ball again with an artist. Yeah. John Carter's my most disappointing. Who you got?
Oh, mine is very easy. It's Vic Mensa. And it's Vic Mensa for a number of reasons. Vic Mensa, if people don't realize, he was a hot young artist that Jay and Kanye had a bidding war about.
Yep.
I mean, Jay-Z and Kanye West had a bidding war over Vic Mensa. So that should tell you everything you need to know about what kind of talent this kid is. So Vic Mensa came out with a project that I really like, especially the one he talked about, the Laquan McDonald
Shots.
Case, yeah. I love that whole project. He was very personal. And even I liked his album, The Autobiography. I like both of those. But he took a turn and he started wanting to go this punk rock lane, and I don't know. I don't understand. I don't know what it is. I don't get it. I mean,
none of us do, trust me.
It's just like it's so much potential in him. Even the project when he rapped for real, like the last one, when he had the weird cover, he was
EP
rapping. He really could rap. But then he dropped one song that sounded like some, I don't know what it was.
Yeah,
it wasn't rap.
He did the Rock and Roll Cranberries remake and shit.
We 100% have to address everybody that's yelling at us through their speakers right now about Rich Homie Quan and why he's not y'all's pick.
Yeah.
Well, I did it because I base mine off talent. Vic Mensa was top two talent on this. Mm-hmm. Easily top two talent on this list. That's why.
Yeah, go ahead.
Why would you pick him?
Nah, I mean.
I feel like he was the most successful person on this list when it came out.
Yeah, nah, and I agree. Like you said, he had the hits. Mm-hmm. He had the Rich Gang affiliation. That was before Birdman had gotten sued by everybody in the rap game.
No, it was right during the time. Because this is a consistent thing that happens.
So the thing about Rich Homie Quan here in Atlanta, he was signed to a guy named Fly.
T.I.G.
Yeah, he fucked up the relationship. I want to say his dad got into it with them or some management. It was some quarrel.
Didn't he shoot his dad? About Rich Homie Quan?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
I think somebody shot at his dad. That's what it was, I think. But it was some dispute, and ever since that happened, let me tell you, because that summer when that mixtape came out, when his
Which
Rich Homie Quan mixtape, I forget the name of it.
Yeah.
Somebody. I heard that everywhere from DC to Atlanta. That was banging.
Yeah.
So I mean, he had management disputes, and ever since then,
the game caught up to his style too, though. Because he would argue
that everybody has taken off with his style. Like,
now that's possible. He's got a legitimate beef, people, though.
But definitely. He got it from what's that guy's name that he got it from? That had it.
You talking about Travis Porter?
Nah, that ride.
Hell
no.
What's
the dude he used to hang with all the time?
Johnny Cinco?
Yeah, that guy. Well, no, the one the Young LA used to hang with too. What's that guy's name?
Jay Money.
They would argue that Jay Money started that before Rich Homie Quan.
Hey, boy, you hear my Atlanta rap knowledge right there on top of the dome?
Jay Money had a little diss. He had a little diss about Rich Homie, I believe.
Yeah, and it went nowhere.
Clearly.
Well, yeah, because Rich Homie blew up.
The mixtape was I Promise I Would Never Stop. That shit was fire.
I heard.
Yes.
I haven't listened, though. Yeah.
Secondly, before we move on, August Alsina?
That's disappointing, too, because he had a nice start.
Why was he even on his list?
That's, he was
good then.
No, he was popping.
I don't know why. R&B
it's two R&B, yeah.
Why are they on the list?
They trying to switch it up.
They try to add some flavor, I assume.
He went crazy. He needs help.
I will say, moving on, ironically, to the most surprising, I was going to say Ty Dolla $ign, because I looked at him as just like a hook guy. Yeah, read your list. I would say Ty Dolla $ign, I was surprised when I listened to his album and shit to hear how talented he was.
Oh,
dude, cool.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
phenomenal.
Of all of
these people, I think that he's perfected his lane the most.
Like, I can respect that.
He's the most consistent.
So good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And those Beach House tapes, those got nice vibes on them. Like, he's a talented dude, but I didn't look at him like that. I just looked at him like he's going to be the new club hook guy for the next 3 years.
Nah.
And that was it. But I was sadly mistaken. Like, Ty Dolla $ign is talented as fuck.
Yeah.
So that's definitely was a surprising person on this list for me. Who was most surprising
to you?
Shout out
to Horses in the Stable. That's a great song.
I was surprised that he was on Taylor Gang. I didn't know that at all.
Definitely. So, that's weird, boy.
Most surprising on this list to me. Dramatic pause. I'm going to say Lil Bibby. Because I felt like that Lil Bibby was going to be a new sound out of Chicago. He wasn't really drill, but it wasn't no soft shit either. And he had a look to go with him as to what like the ladies would like him. I feel like that he was an exceptional, you know what I'm saying, artist to be coming out of Chicago in comparison to a Chief Keef, a Lil Durk.
Right.
He was a better rapper than those guys. Actually, I feel like he's a better rapper than Herbo even.
That's disrespectful.
But I don't know why at some point he stopped like liking it and stopped going through with it. So I'm surprised that he isn't still on right now, because in my opinion, he was one of the more talented Chicago artists offering a different style while still keeping it Chicago.
Yo.
So I'm surprised that he's not in a different place right
he
now.
He cold.
But he is managing, or Juice WRLD is signed to him, as we spoke of earlier on another episode. So I guess he getting that bag.
So you're surprised and disappointed?
Both. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm disappointed in them too.
I expected a lot more.
Like I said, I could go with a gang of people on here that I'm disappointed in. Who you got? You got a surprising person on here?
I like Kevin Gates. I'm surprised he's lasted as long as he has.
Really?
Yeah, because he had a very regional sound when he came out. Like I said, I fuck with it, but I didn't think it would reach the masses the way it did.
Yeah.
And I'm happy for him.
And
also surprised because he was in and out of jail. Didn't think he would be, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
And after that case, when he kicked him, I was like, oh, my God, he got arrested here. He got arraigned here. Got to ship him back, expedite him back to Chicago. I thought it was over for him.
Right.
But he's lasted, and so I'm surprised in a good way for Kevin Gates.
I like Kevin Gates. I remember when we first heard that Luca Bryson, I heard him rap and sing both effectively. And I was like, he's like a street version of like a Drake type. You know what I'm saying? Like, he could kind of fill that lane if he wanted to. He's one of those artists that I feel like has been cursed by that first project that got him on, which was that Luca Brasi, because in my opinion, that's his best. Yeah. So everything else since then has been slightly downhill. So that's tough to live up to. But I'm also disappointed. I'm also surprised that Isaiah Rashad made his list. Like, dude is some slog.
Here go the Isaiah Rashad.
Like, I don't know how he's got a record deal.
What
I don't
are you
know
talking
what
about?
Isaiah Rashad from TDE is some slog.
He can rap.
No, he can't.
Okay,
bro, he can rap.
He's not
bro.
Even okay.
Yeah, he is.
I know we're trying to be nice. Shout out to Tennessee. You know what I'm saying? He's from Chattanooga. I don't want to shit on anybody out here trying to make a living making music, but let's be all the way honest with ourselves.
You don't like his album
I
at
like
all?
His style.
Nice. The Sun's tie right? That shit is fucking good.
I like the mood and the
rap,
style
man.
That he presents. And did
it was
you know
different.
Did you know he wanted to be a preacher before he was a rapper?
He should have went that route.
Nah,
man.
He's probably a better preacher than rapper.
He can rap, man. I remember listening to his project, and I was thoroughly surprised.
Bro, he's some slog, bro. That's why he ain't been put out since. He hasn't put anything out since, bro. He's been he wasn't even on the tour. Like, dude, they're not fucking with dude right now. Tour.
But you don't know what goes on behind the scenes. We don't know if it's it's business related. We don't know that. But as far as talent, he has talent.
I know what goes on last in the public month, eye, which last is bad month
he
music.
Was playing snippets from his unreleased album.
To who? A little fucking Starbucks?
On his Instagram.
Man, bro, you were that, bro.
To 19 followers?
Hate healthy, bro.
Nah, he don't make good music, bro. Like, and I'm shocked that he signed a TDE. I'm gonna keep it 100.
Bro, it's good to me.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I like him. I like Isaiah Rashad. Yeah, I've came around on him. I like his style. I like this whole lane and the tempo that he has. I'm here for that. Whole tempo right
that
there.
That shit's trash.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to go listen to that album again. You flexing. Yeah,
listen, you'll turn that shit off by the time you get to the stop sign.
Big flexing.
Y'all let us know, guys. Go to Facebook, find the Rap Chat group. Let us know who's the most successful, your most disappointing, and your most surprising artist from this list.
Who would you pick to make a song right now if you had picked two of these?
Man, it's rough because I feel like they're all equally, well, with the exception of a few, the ones that have completely disappeared, they're all, like, if you took Chance away, who's the most commercially biggest artist on this list right now today?
Commercially biggest?
Probably Gates and Ty.
Yeah, it'd be Ty Dolla $ign. I think Vic is up there, too.
No.
Commercially, you're a big label, have money behind them.
Bro, it's a 10-way tie after you get past Chance and Gates.
Chance and Gates, and then Ty Dolla $ign.
No, Ty Dolla $ign bigger than Kevin Gates. I'm confused at what y'all talking.
I would say that. I would say
hell
that.
Y'all talking.
I would say that like equal footing.
No, hell no.
Yeah, Ty Dolla $ign ain't got no solo hit though,
bro.
Singing on Janae Aiko hook and shit. That don't.
You need to go listen again, sir. If Ty Dolla $ign would be on a tour, people would go see him before Gates. That's a fact.
That's not true.
He's on a tour.
That's not true at all.
Yes,
that's
it
a
is.
Toss up. You got a second music break for us, man. Who we got?
I do, man. Shout out to the whole DMV. One of my favorite artists who's severely underrated. That boy Wale. He has a new song, Gemini Two Sides. Check it out.
Something is it?
A fairy tale. The fairest evermore, but you scary still. What I've never seen before is this composure you possess. Poised getting coins, but you know that you the shit. Though you always on the fence with me. Gemini woman to switch up the vibe with you. Don't try holding her hand, she probably high five. But nigga, try figure you out, but you kinda tricky. Ironic, you like attention, but hide your feelings. Ha, I'm a Virgo with trust that you's in high. Think that Mercury's fucking with you and I. Think that purposely flirting with you isn't working. I'm searching to find your person, you just hurt. Am I pride, right? My Gemini, now is you mine? A mirage, a Gemini is the only sign with double sides. So if she give it to me now, we'll be a menage. One queen, two sides, one me, Wu-Sai, a whole time. You a whole vibe, we gon' both shine. Gemini, yeah, one queen, two sides, one me, Wu-Sai, a whole time. You a whole vibe, we gon' both shine. My Gemini, I hide all your fears and smile at all of your friends. Suppress whatever troubles you cause you bothered with this. I guess some other time I can try and make it legit. But I am chasing a twin that would rather chase a career of his love. I respect.
Man, we are back. That was Wale with Gemini, Two Sides. How you feel about it?
I mean, it's Wale for me. I'm not really moved by Hater Wale's
alert.
Music
Hater
at
alert.
All. So I just, it was what it was. It's not like another Wale song to me.
No, that was a good record, though. I'm not going to lie. Like, and he's quiet as kept, been putting out some solid Lucy records these last 8 months, though.
Yes,
real low key.
Yes, he has. Give my nigga his props, man.
No, he has. Really, I'm not going to flex.
Wale can really, see, Wale has his own lane, and he can really rap. Like,
yeah, you know, he can. I don't think anybody
debate
that.
I get why people don't like him sometimes, because he can be, you know, arrogant to the media, asshole. I get that, but let's not. The talent is there, and this is proof in the motherfucking pudding.
So you're looking forward to that album, is what you're saying?
Oh, for sure.
Why are they a talented guy?
Let's take it to the West Coast. Question of the day: T.I. Man, the King is bringing his trap music museum to the City of Angels, June 20th to June 22nd. There will be a little trap house pop-up shop for the SoCal residents. I think it's going on while the BET experience is popping off.
Great idea.
Features will include Pusha T's interactive barcode, Gucci's Trap Kitchen, and a 3D rendition of Future's Dirty Sprite 2 cover.
Hey.
Should T.I. get more props for the museum concept?
I mean, I think he gets ample credit for it. I think that, you know, the blurb comes out about it. People say it's cool. They go, they check it out. It's still open here in Atlanta.
Yep.
So I think he gets ample credit for what he's done for it.
He needs to get this idea is genius. like straight up. And I know 2 Chainz is kicking his ass. He's kicking himself in the ass every time he rides by that shit. And there's the line is outside. That line, it still be a line outside Friday night if you ride by the Trap Music Museum, which is, I'm shocked at that. Like, if you'd have told me that in October, I wouldn't have believed you. I'd have been like, the novelty would have worn off. You know what I'm saying? Like, it would have been, it'd been cute for like a little 2-month pop-up.
And they don't even change it.
That's what I'm saying. Same thing. The only thing, they took down Kodak Black. That's it.
Well, thank God.
Unfortunately.
Keep your head up. Keep your head up, though, Kodak. Anyway, T.I. does not get enough credit for a lot of things. I mean, this man makes moves. We talked about this in the group chat. I forgot what the question was, but I said it. Film, music, clothing. T.I. has done all of that.
You can leave clothing out, though.
The question was, who's the most successful artist from Atlanta?
What do you mean?
That was the question.
In the group chat? Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, it's T.I. So what I'm saying is that
it's ludicrous.
No, it's not at all.
Those Fast and Furious checks say different.
That's nothing. It's ludicrous. What I'm saying is, for as far as impact, T.I. has done it all. And this is just another layer of what he's done, not only for Atlanta, but for his legacy. And come on, man. The odds were against this man. And he turned around. Look what he's done.
Thank you, Atlanta Ambassador and Extra.
Yeah, he's the king.
Nah, this idea dope as fuck, though. Like, I can't even front. Yeah. The museum is dope. If you haven't been, I actually suggest you go. Like, it's pretty sweet. And I think it's cool to take this on the road, though. I'm surprised that they haven't done this earlier. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, take it to the West Coast, maybe take it to, like, Miami or something. New York, possibly, when it get hot. I think that's a good idea, man.
The whole team over there. Shout out to James. He went to Tennessee State. He over there. Shout out to James.
That's what's up. TTTSSSU.
And your girl that won that contest. She over there, too.
Fuck, man. I'm beefing with her right now.
You hate her.
Yeah, I'm hot at her.
Is that the one who held you out?
Love her. Yeah, she kept me out. I do love her.
You used to love her.
Yeah. What we got, man? New music out and new music dropping. Do we got anything to look forward to? I hope so.
Yes, we do. Supposedly. Uzi is supposed to come out this Friday.
Eternal to take.
That's what they're saying. We have, I don't know who this is, Marlon Craft with Funhouse Mirror is supposed to come out.
Never
heard of. I don't know who that is either. But that's all. Uzi is supposed to be the biggest this weekend or this Friday.
You got Lil Nas X fucked up. He dropping his EP Friday.
Coming out Friday?
It's called Seven, right?
Yeah, Seven.
Well, there you go.
Y'all got some respect on this
Lil Nas X don't have to make another song for the rest of his life.
Probably not. So don't let him have another one on this project.
I hope he does. I'm wishing him the best. Last week, the Gold Link came out, that Diaspora, that's a good project. Don't sleep on that, folks. Mm-hmm. Gene Dew with Empathy came out as well.
What y'all think about the Drake tracks?
Before you get there, y'all check out Flea Lord. Gets Greater Later from Griselda.
What's his name?
Flea Lord.
What the fuck? These niggas' names are trash.
That's wild.
But, Flea Lord?
Ripping this.
I saw that on your IG today.
On some Griselda type shit. He killing this. So if y'all want to hear that, check that out. Okay. I like the Drake tracks. I ain't like the Ross one, but I like the other one.
I was about to say, there's no way you like both of them. Nah. Yeah, the Ross one is a throwaway to me.
It's a throwaway, but it's not some slaughter.
I didn't say it was slaughter.
That's fair.
Some little cool. I know what y'all say.
That's fair. The first track was hard, though. He was ripping it.
Yeah, that'll mark you. Yeah. That's fire right there.
He did the Biggie flow.
He did.
Got a shout out to the young Jewish guy. He does his thing.
The GOAT.
But we talk about those Drake tracks. These Dreamville tracks are also equally fire.
They straight.
I love the group track. And a shout out to Dreezy. She killed her.
She did.
Shout out another Ty Dolla $ign feature. He's everywhere, in case you didn't know. let's get in. And shout out to it, like I said, Johnny Venus. He ripped his. If you're on a track with Cole and I say you have the best verse better than Cole, you ripped it.
Mm.
And Johnny Venus killed his verse.
I mean, Cole falling off.
Shout out your boy.
Who that?
Votto. He dropped a tape. You always gonna listen to the new Votto.
Votto be having them beats, though.
He got 2 songs on there that'll bang.
I told you.
Banging ass songs on there, so check out Votto.
Nobody will hear that.
And check out that late February about Bobby Fino, a.k.a. Arian Foster. His last one was really good. We did some songs off that. That's banging.
I heard that Bobby Fino was banging, though.
It's banging.
I heard it was.
He picks a good lane that he stays in and raps about where you can listen to him being an ex-football player.
You like his music, though.
I can't get with this banging, and you just said Wale is okay.
I don't like Wale.
Oh, man. How is it banging? What's banging?
It's probably above expectations.
I like the mood.
Though.
I like the style. I don't like Wale. I don't listen to Wale's music. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, of course. Everybody's biased in what they like. If you sit here and say somebody has talent,
they have talent. I don't like Steph Curry. I know the motherfucker got talent.
Who denied he had talent, though? Who denied he had talent?
But you just said this was banging. It can't be better than Wale.
How do you know?
You have to listen to it first, though.
You ain't heard it.
His name is Fino.
His name is Arian Foster. That's yeah,
exactly.
That's, how about you tell him you don't like it? How about that?
I can tell anybody I don't like something.
I love to see the end of that.
You going to hit me?
You curled up in a pretzel.
Let him hit me.
I hope so.
I want so. I want to check. Me too. Hit me any day.
Arian fucking Foster.
But no, I'm going to check it out. I'm going to see how banging it is.
And you come back next
week. You're going to come back next week and be like, I was wrong. What do you say in the group chat? I have an amendment.
I stand corrected.
Amendment. That Bobby Fino was banging.
I can stand corrected. See, I don't have a problem. That's growth.
Keep growing.
Shout out to J-Ho.
Keep growing, nigga. Keep growing.
What you got on deck for the weekend?
I'm slow motion, recovering from 300, man. Trying to get everything back situated. But I'm chilling. What you got?
I'll be in the movies.
You want to see Shaft, don't you?
I'll be in that Shaft. Shout out my guy Samuel L. I'll see what that's hitting on, man. It looked kind of funny, though.
Just it looked funny enough to be a Redbox movie.
It looks funny enough to use my AMC movie pass.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, you know.
So I'm milking at the Delph.
Redbox.
What you got on there?
I have no idea.
Nothing?
Gonna roll with the punches this weekend.
No Miami trips?
Nah, I'm good on Miami for about a year.
Hey, man, y'all do us a favor. First of all, thank you again to everyone that came out to the 300 show. Thank you again for everybody that watched online. Thank you again for everybody that reached out and couldn't make it but wanted to come.
You guys that came and made it out, you are the on-deckers of the week. We appreciate you. Thank you so much for coming out. The next time we have one, we'll make sure that you're fully informed and can make it there, too, for the people that didn't make it. Thank everybody for support over the last 300 episodes.
Yeah, coming to a city near you.
Yeah, we love you guys. Support the real 2 E's.
Absolutely.
Fucked up.
Hey, man, iTunes, leave us a comment. Give us 5 stars, man. We appreciate that. We want to get to 300 ratings.
And subscribe on YouTube.
Ooh, youtube.com/OnDeckTV podcast.
Yes.
That's something special for a special subscriber. If I know who you are, subscribe.
There you go. You got something special coming from me, too, extra.
Yeah, that's right.
See y'all next week.
Shout out to the
ladies. Yeah.
Good morning. Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.